Welcome to Whatever Works, our unique fortnightly podcast in which we talk about whatever works in our lives and in the lives of our community members. Find us at whateverworks.works. And why not join our community? Simply search for Whatever Works at MeWe.com and get stuck in.
Oh, it's wrong. Audacity wasn't working, but it now is. If in doubt, give it a clout. That applies to you as well.
I prefer the Russian method. Turn it off at the wall and turn it back on again. Yeah.
I think we're up and running.
I think we finally are. Sorry about that, everyone. Hello, everyone.
Hello. Welcome back to Whatever Works. And we're back with a lovely show for you at the beginning of October. Actually, it's the 7th of October now. Doesn't time fly? Show 213. How are you, Squire?
It's ridiculous. It really is. It just seems like yesterday it was January and we're about to celebrate Christmas again. Good grief, Charlie Brown.
Well, you'd have been a bit late for Christmas.
I'm well, thank you. I'm a bit sniffly. Please, apologies in advance if I'm sniffling a bit today. I've had a sort of coldy, buggy thing of late and it's still there. The dredges are still there.
Oh, dear. You've got the COVID.
I'm getting my vaccines tomorrow. I'm getting my COVID and my flu vaccines upon the morrow. So I'm hoping I'll be well enough for them. I am indeed, yes.
They haven't offered me a COVID jab since last December.
Well, they haven't offered me one, but my mother's got hers. And because I'm her carer, I always muscle in and say, me too.
Ah, right, okay. Then I'm not so concerned. But yeah, last December I had my last one. And my dad had one in July, I think it was, or June, somewhere around there. But he's 88, so you expect that.
Yes, of course. Yeah, my mum's 89, so as I say, I go along on the back of hers.
Yeah. Anyway, right, furniture for the show. AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me. WhateverWorks.works is our website. Links are there to all the stuff that we'll be talking about on today's show. And all the lovely things that you've given us to talk about on the show as well. We're going to have a go at going fortnightly again, aren't we, Aidan Bell?
We are going to give it a shot.
Maybe perhaps it's a winter thing. People are not out down the beach so that they can create more stuff for us to bring to the show in the winter.
That's a positive way of looking at it. I'd say people are at home with nothing to do and whinging, and that's why we get more content. More Room 101 entrance in the winter time, definitely.
Oh, lovely. Listeners don't whinge. They're immune. Three of which I'll come to now. A special thanks to Philip Ray and Dean Cooksey for generous and ongoing donations to keep Whatever Works going. With the generous donations we've had this week, we've pretty much got enough to pay for this year's forthcoming hosting and web fees. So that's really, really good.
Oh, moist egg salad.
Well done, Philip and Dean.
Thank you indeed.
You're superstars. And also everyone else who chips in now and again, not just those two. Chris Kelly came for a visit last week. It was great to see him again. Yeah, really nice. Across on the north coast of Wales here. We had a coffee and a chinwag and for about an hour. And he brought his wife and son this time too. And they all seem very nice people. And amazing. I was reflecting that I've now met him as many times as I've met Steve Litchfield. since Steve and I don't like travelling at all, we kind of never get together.
I like the way you say they seem like nice people, as if they're some sort of proviso.
No. The seem means that I really don't know them very well.
I jest.
they do seem like very, very nice folk. One day, you know, you and I, when you're playing the rear end of a panto horse in Landidno Palladium.
Oh, that's lovely, yeah.
You and I will meet up too, and also confirm to the world that we're not AI-generated podcasters.
It is funny, you know, sometimes I'm in conversation with people, I do this podcast with a guy I've known for several years, and then I have to say, I've never met him.
Yeah.
We've been mates and we've been recording this podcast for, what is it, 4 or 5 years now? I mean, I've lost track. And yet we've never laid eyes on each other, so, yeah.
2016 we started, although you weren't in at the beginning, so I'm not quite sure where you joined in, but it wasn't long after the start.
But, I mean, it's on the way to 10 years, and we've never even laid eyes on each other yet. It's a bit like when you're corresponding, and you know, you could actually be Big Bill in some Texan prison somewhere that I need to keep away from.
Yeah.
Who knows?
Yeah. Like the old days of pen pals.
Exactly.
My sisters used to have pen pals. And they've never met these people that they pen-palled with. But
well, anyway, listen, Ted, you seem like a very nice person. Let's leave it there.
Yeah, okay.
And keep laughing, Ted, because I found out, my mother listens to Elaine Page on Sundays. Very, very good show about musical theatre. And she's got this fetish for looking up the weird and wonderful, you know, when you have like, you know, World Car Day or World Babies Day or whatever it is. Did you know it's British Egg Week? And on Friday, it's World Egg Day. And it just made me think, all those appalling egg yolks we used to make on the show the time. Where are they when you want them? It's British Egg Week. How about that? Have yourself an omelette in celebration, sir. That was all.
There was another day this week that was something completely bizarre. I forgot what it was now, but there seems to be a day in the year just for everything, doesn't there?
There does, and I think that sort of, you know, less would be more. If you can't keep up, if it's horse riding or indexing or book reading or whatever it might, you know, it's just too much, too many.
Yeah. Too right.
Yeah, I had my first AliExpress experience, I'm sure.
Oh, my word.
Listeners, remember, you talk about... Yours was not long ago, wasn't it? When you ordered that awful thing for trying to... vibrate the washing clean you bought on AliExpress.
Yeah, yeah.
I had my first experience. I wanted a dash cam for my Polestar. My wonderful, wonderful... I got a new car, by the way. I don't know if you know. And all the bells and whistles it has. The one that it didn't have was the dash cam. I found one that's purpose-built for that car. £188 on Amazon and similar everywhere else, except on AliExpress, where it was £30.91. So
ludicrous.
I thought, well, at a sixth of the cost, I'm going to take a punt and do as you did and try AliExpress. And it worked. I mean, it took a couple of weeks to get here, but we know that's coming when you reorder, don't we? And I fitted it to the car yesterday. I'm not going to bother reviewing it because it's such a specialised item. Nobody else is going to care. But it works well. I'm very happy with it. And the AliExpress experience was fine, apart from the 9 million emails I got afterwards. And
yeah,
I think you said the same thing.
Yeah,
you have to. I think I finally put pay to those. I'm not tempted to move across. I'm not going to, be converted to AliExpress. But it's good to know that it's there for situations where you can really get yourself a bargain once in a blue moon.
Or situations where you cannot get the thing for love nor
money. Indeed. Yes.
In any other way. Example, this last month, since we last recorded, is I was trying to get a phone case for a quite obscure mobile phone, and they just aren't any out there anywhere. The only place I could find one was on AliExpress, and so I sent off for it. 2 weeks later, as you say, it arrived, and it was cheap as chips. You know, it was £2 something, and it arrived, if you're happy to wait 2 weeks. You see, part of the whole Amazon thing is that usually I'm impatient and I pay them for Prime and I jolly well expect things the next day.
Yes, yes, we're spoilt because in the old days we used to wait 2 weeks for anything to arrive that we ordered by post.
Yeah.
So it's just we've been spoilt. It does still astound me. I mean, if everyone in this country, and indeed beyond, is selling it for £180, how come AliExpress have it for £30? And it seems like a perfectly good product. I don't have any reason to believe it's a rip-off or a fake. I don't think there's enough demand that there would be worth making a fake version. Really good.
Just goes to show how much it costs to make, really.
Yes, it does, yeah. If you can afford the two-week wait and the slight trepidation, then well worth doing it. Here, on a side note, I had an email this week from eBay proudly informing me that they're no longer charging.
That's right.
So they no longer want their pound of flesh. I'm astonished.
Yeah.
I don't use eBay. I've gone off eBay. I won't use eBay unless it's essential, so I'm not really that bothered. But I'm very surprised. Do you know more about this?
There's a long conversation going on in the PSC chat area in MeWe about this, and they reckon that the onus is on that they're going over the top protecting buyers at the cost of not protecting sellers, and they're putting all sorts of things in place whereby, you know, if you're buying something on eBay, you get all sorts of protection, but if you're selling something, be prepared to be treated like dirt. And the person buying it has all the rights to basically get back their money or just return stuff for no reason or whatever else. The emphasis is all, well, it's all one way. But yeah, with that in mind, they've decided to ditch their selling fees Because people were talking about jumping ship from our classifieds and going back to eBay, but they said there's so much other crap that happens on eBay that they just they would rather not.
Yeah, if it looks too good to be true, it probably is.
Yeah, but what isn't too good to be true is the recurring Amazon Prime Day.
Oh, not again!
They're happening tomorrow and Wednesday as we record. And yeah, I think they have one in July, one in October, but there's another one in November because that's Black Friday.
That's
or something,
the standard one. That's where it all started, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah.
And then there's the January one. Yeah, so there are quite a lot.
It'll be a bit like MFI before you know it. It's just a constant sale.
Yeah.
Amazon is permanently on sale.
Yeah, exactly. I'm after a Pixel Watch 3 because they've made a bigger one. And I think that the one that I've got is just, it's too dainty and too feminine. And the bigger one, I really want it. But I'm not paying
for it. You want a bloke's watch, don't you, Ted?
Yeah, bloke's watch. Absolutely. He-Man. I get a Casio Iron Man or something. Yes.
Oh, well, I wish you well. I hope the price is... I mean, I'll probably have a little look tomorrow. But as we said last time we discussed it, it really does just encourage one to go online and think, now, what must I buy today and spend money you absolutely don't need to spend and probably don't have. Yeah.
Quite right. There's a new pair of headphones I want as well, but a Marshall pair, but I really don't need them. You're quite right. It's very silly. I shall stop.
I call it electric toothbrush sale day.
Yeah.
I got very excited this week. I thought I had finally found the solution. Do you remember the problem that I've talked about on the show two or three times? And it's still ongoing and I'm still looking for the solution, folks, for when I leave my studio with the wrong glasses on. I am forever...
Oh, yeah.
I work at the computer with my computer glasses. And when I get up and leave the room, I should put back on my varifocals that I wear all the time otherwise. And I'm constantly forgetting. I am forever... going around the house and thinking my eyes hurt and then realise I'm still wearing my computer specs because I forgot to change them.
Mm.
I've talked about this on the show before. I found Spec Finder for Android from Dolphin Tracker, £39.99. I thought that's expensive, but God damn it, I need these. I'm going to try them. I bought it. I tried it. It works. But I sent it back. The reason is, it works. It should be fantastic. It's a tiny little thing. It really is very, very small. And you attach it to the arm of your glasses. And then you set it up with your phone, basically. So I would need a second phone anyway. But that's another story for another day. You set it up with your phone. And if it becomes separated from the phone, it beeps in your ear and says, beep, 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 beep. I'm not with the phone, which would be ideal for me. I could set up a spare phone in my studio. And the moment I leave the studio, it would beep. But there lies the problem. It's not the moment I leave the studio. It's about 2 or 3 or 4 minutes later. I tested it. I walked down the end of the house and I sat with a stopwatch on and it hit 2 minutes before the thing beeped at me. Which is, of course, useless because I could be in the car and halfway down the road in the wrong glasses before the thing decides to let me know I've left the studio. So they went back.
Apparently it uses Bluetooth and GPS. So you would hope GPS is really very... isolated now in terms of position. Bluetooth, we know, can be 30 feet before it kind of gets the message, I suppose. Fair enough. But GPS, I thought, was better than that.
Oh, yeah, but then again, I'm in the house, so maybe the GPS is buggered by the fact that I'm indoors. But it was a shame because it would have been absolutely perfect. And it's a glasses finder. I mean, dear listeners, we actually started our show almost a little bit late today because my mother lost her glasses, bless her, and I was running around the house with her trying to find them. And it occurred to me this would be perfect for someone like my mother as well because you can then press a button on the phone app and the glasses themselves go beep 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 and you can find them. But it didn't work, so I'm still looking. I need something that's absolutely instant. I need something that the moment they become separated by more than just a few feet, some sort of alarm will go off and let me know, Aidan, you're wearing the wrong glasses. I always thought that separation alarms were a thing. I'm sure I remember from my teens and 20s that was a thing. You could buy two little boxes and when they became separated from each other, one of them made a noise. But
I think you can, but except that in those days they formed their own network. You see, these things are trying to use GPS.
That's right, they're all connected with the phone.
They're all trying to hook onto the whole app thing. And if you had two things that used their own, created their own, like for example my thingy that sits underneath my static that tells the weather thing what to do.
Yes.
You know, that creates its own network and that never fails. It works perfectly.
Steve Litchfield, I want to go onto RS Components and buy a separation alarm. Why can't I?
Yeah, I blame modern technology.
Absolutely, yes.
Modern technology. Let's go old-fashioned with Rob Anderson. Rob Anderson has found French butter dishes.
Oh, if you like sorry.
If you like proper butter on your bread, but hate it when you take it out of the fridge and it doesn't spread without ripping the bread to shreds.
Oh, yes, yes.
Then I highly recommend a French butter dish. It allows the butter to be stored outside of your fridge, which allows it to spread more easily. How does that work then?
Well, I think you found something online, didn't you, and posted in here. You put a small... Do you want me to do it in French? You put a small amount of water in the bottom compartment, and this creates a vacuum seal, which then keeps the butter fresh. A vacuum seal? No, it can't be a vacuum seal. I mean, you need to remove the air to create... It must just be a watertight, an airtight seal. Anyway, it creates a seal. And the water in the base of the butter keeper helps to create an airtight seal. There you are, around the butter, preventing the fats, mostly a mixture of triglycerides, from oxidizing and creating off or rancid flavors. Are you keeping up at the back? As the butter gets used down, it will have some of its surface touching air in a bubble. The air in this bubble is trapped and not getting new oxygen from the rest of the atmosphere. Therefore, it's significantly slowing down the oxidation process.
Good grief.
And it says in brackets here, some quote from somewhere online, I guess. That'll be you, Mr. Salmon, I think, in our recording notes.
Yeah. I did find this. I still don't quite understand it, though, do you?
I don't fully understand it, but it's basically to do with keeping the bad air out and keeping the good air in, and therefore the butter stays fresher in the good air, and somehow that stops it from getting hard. That's a bit I don't quite get. But it's clever. It's French. You don't ask. You just use it, you know?
Yeah, so you put a bit of water in the bottom, and then you fill it up with... butter on top of that.
And you turn it upside down, I think, so that it's a seal, so that it's an airtight seal in which the butter lives. And I think you lift it off, you take the butter, and then you put it back down again, I think.
Perhaps you and I are just thick.
I think, A, you and I are thick, and B, one of us should take one for the team and try one. I remember a butter dish, on a side note again, I remember there was one that I was very tempted with, but it was about 40 quid and I never bought it, that was an electric butter dish that purported to keep the butter soft in the winter and also cool, and then cooled it down in the summer. But the French know how to do it better.
I've linked one in the Amazon store as always, and they in the third picture along, there's a diagram. I hadn't looked at this. This is 20 quid, and it shows the water in a kind of thingy around the outside. It's almost like a flask, which we'll come to later. Do you see that diagram?
I do see that. It's almost like when you watch these programmes about when we excavated Pompeii, we found these old vessels and this is how the Romans used to do things. You know, it's a bit like one of those.
Yeah,
it's all to do with water and air and keeping the bad things out and the good things in, and somehow stops the butter from going hard.
Thank you, Rob. That's a good one. Now, I was talking to you in the week about trying to get a solution for hiding or holding even... a bunch of mobile phones that I have, which I tend to have on rotation to review.
Yes, it was indeed.
Finding something to put it in. Anyway, in the end, I was thinking about a hanger in the wardrobe, as you well know. I couldn't find anything that was going to do the job inside the wardrobe as a hanger. So in the end, I got this box, this kind of... It's like a display box almost. It's something you would see in a cafe or something.
Yes.
To put stuff in. I'm not quite sure what. There's 24 sections in it for 24 phones, which I've nearly filled up. It's £13.29, except it was £12 when I bought it. It's self-assembly, comes from China, and as you'd imagine, and it was quite tricky to put together, particularly with... limited English instructions, but it's quite clever. You can see a picture of it there, and you see on those joints at the ends and all the intersections, those white things are O-rings. And what you do is you put the thing together, and it's got a little kind of cutout just inside it, and you put you stretch the O-ring over the joint. And lo and behold, it holds the thing together. And actually, I was very sceptical about that system, but actually it worked really well, and it's holding together, and it's fine. It's nothing like having screws to hold things together, obviously, but, you know, it's very very quick and easy to put together.
Excuse me, it is very attractive. It's raked. It's a bit like, as you say, like a display thing in a shop. So you have the front row of phones, and then a bit like theatre seating. Each row is slightly higher than the one in front of it, so that they're all very nicely on display. I mean, in terms of your security, I mean, you're actually you've gone the wrong way. You're now saying, look at these lovely phones you can steal. But in terms of your own storage and own presentation, I think it's fabulous.
Yeah, well, the theory is that I can now grab them all together, put them in, I don't know, a wardrobe.
Yes.
Hope no thieves are listening to this. put it in a wardrobe, cover it up with a, I don't know, a sheet or a blanket or something. I can't imagine that anyone breaking into your... they're going to be going for the things that are on display, not raking around inside wardrobes. So, I think it'll be all right.
Yes, I mean, unless they know they're breaking into the house of an eminent reviewer of mobile phones, they're not going to expect you to have 45 phones kicking around, are they?
Like, anyway, nice little thing, organizer, I thought, and you could use it for whatever you wanted, really. You could, a desk organizer, you can put whatever you like in it, can't you? Very nice.
My mum's got a new PC, John. I was
really,
really impressed. My mother's PC died, and it was one of those unfortunate things where it was from one moment to the next. You know, she came in and she said, "I'm having trouble turning on my PC," and that was it. It had just died. Basically, we think the power supply had packed up and died, and we just came to the conclusion that it wasn't worth trying to repair this one because it was not an elderly PC. It was probably like 4 or 5 or 6 years old, and maybe a little older than that. But anyway, we made the decision, no, let's replace. And I think you and I had a conversation came up with the idea of mini PCs. Now, I'm not going to review a mini PC because that, A, I'm no good at reviewing tech things, and B, it would be more of a tech addict subject. But what I wanted to bring to this show is how astonishing it is. We bought a PC. I mean, the PC that we got rid of, the one that died, was about the size, I don't know, 4 or 5 shoeboxes piled up. You know, it was a proper...
Tower,
that's the word. The tower computer box. We replaced it with a mini computer, which is, I would say, about the size of 4 cigarette packets and weighs practically nothing. The old one also weighed quite a few kilos, I should think. This one weighs, half a kilo at best? Absolutely astonishing. This thing is tiny. I was dubious. I mean, I expressed that to you as I was looking into buying it. And once I got it in the house, I was still dubious. But blow me, I put it together. I plugged it all up. I set it up. It was the quickest and easiest Windows install I have ever done. And I've done a few in my time, as we all have. I think that's actually probably more to do with software and the progress of time than it is the computer per se. But nevertheless, it was a very, very easy install. Nothing went wrong. I had no problems with anything. It all went smoothly, and it's worked flawlessly from the word go ever since. And moreover, it was £164, which is also something like 5 or 6 times cheaper than the one that it replaced. So, you know, technology abounds, and we replace huge, great big boxes with tiny little lightweight things. I mean, you know, I had to say to my mother, honestly, this really is your new computer. And this box, you know, on which the switch is half the size of the computer, honestly, that's your computer. And she's fine. My mother's fine with it, and it works wonderfully, and I'm astonished. Mini PCs, really amazing. At your request, I had a little play with the sound, as in, does it make a sound? And no, it doesn't. I mean, you have to put your ear on the desk, and I'd say it's equivalent to, if not quieter than, an external hard drive that you might hear whirring if you put your ear very, very, very close to it. I mean, really, it's just silent to boot. It's incredible. Sorry, now your turn.
Okay. My concern was the cooling system, because when I had one of these boxes and I tried to use it as my main computer... Now, to be fair, I'm not going to be doing the same things as your mum's doing. But when I was trying to do podcasting, I can remember Gareth saying to me, "What's that noise?" And it was just going on. Now, I see that this one, unlike the one I had, has got a cooling system with a silent fan, so they say. So the silent fan is probably something I didn't have in the one that I tried before, which is probably making it, even if your mum did do something outrageously
CPU intensive, yes.
Intensive, that you it probably would be much better than my experience anyway. So that's really cool and really good. And it's
really cool. See what you did there.
It's actually £219 it's showing now, but you can get, there's a voucher for 27% off, And there's another one. Oh, you can get it even cheaper.
Yeah, we paid $164 for it. Yes, and to go back to what you're saying, indeed. I mean, my mother, she does email and she goes on the internet and she does a little bit of work in Ventura with some word publishing. But nothing terribly intensive, no.
And it's just amazing, as you say, that it's got an Alder Lake N100 processor, which is not the fastest and best, but for her it'll be fine. And Windows 11 Pro, amazing. You know, you used to have to fight tooth and nail to get Windows 11 Pro. And, you know, a 500 gig SSD inside. It's really hard to argue against mini PCs.
Yes, and when I did my research, I watched some reviews of the high-end ones, and there were people saying, you know, that equally they do work. And if you do want to do it for video editing or lots of maths processing, you can. You have to pay three times as much and get a beefier one. And perhaps it does make a little bit of noise. But nevertheless, there are mini PCs that have got the oomph if required.
Yeah. And if it makes too much noise, put it further away.
Exactly.
I wonder who bought it.
Incidentally, before I get to my item of the week, that B-Link mini PC we were just talking about, I got £4.10 for that purchase, which you kindly used my affiliate link.
Oh, you're very welcome, sir.
£4.10. Excellent, eh?
Okay, could you send that back to me, please? And I'll tell my mum she's got another £4 back.
So that was really good. But anyway, I wonder who bought it this week. This is right up your street. I'm going to hand over to you in a second. Ryobi RMT18 blah, blah, blah mini toolkit. Definitely one for you, and it's £145, and I thank you, whoever it is that's bought it, because that netted me some pennies too, in fact some pounds, I think. But yes, do summarise for us.
I shall summarise by telling you it is a versatile multi-purpose tool that cuts drywall, metal, wood, plastic, composite and many other materials, and it also sands the finest details. Plunge cuts into any material quickly and easily, or cut flush right up to a surface without damaging it. Quick change attachments for hassle-free transition between sanding and cutting. 6-position variable speed wheel for ultimate control across a range of applications. And the universal accessory adapter included makes this tool compatible with any brand of accessories. This is, of course, a Ryobi tool, and listeners will remember that I did a job for Ryobi a year or so ago, and I'm still on their adverts waxing lyrical about various tools that they very kindly gave me. If you remember, I've got some very nice tools in the garage, courtesy of Ryobi. Now, I had to look this one up because I'd never heard of this thing. It's basically a kind of a saw. It's almost the we talked last week about this awful washing thing that uses vibration to wash things and fails. This is almost the same principle, but you know, on steroids. As a vibration cutter, as far as I can tell. I'm not a DIY person in any professional sense, and so I'm not really certain, but it appears to me that this is a saw that saws by very fast vibration. Because it basically seems to have a little rectangular piece of metal that doesn't seem to be sharp, and that's the blade. I'm really not quite sure, and I think there are
different sizes. Sanding going on as well.
Yeah, so it basically, it moves very, very quickly, it vibrates very fast, and by doing so, it saws. Anyway, I mean, obviously you can look it up if you're genuinely concerned to know exactly how it works, but it's very good, and yes, I am a fan of Ryobi. As I say, I did sort of buy into them now, and I have bought myself a couple of Ryobi tools since doing that job. And their system is very good. They have this one battery system where the one battery fits all. So you just hot swap the battery, whichever tool you need to put it in. I go for that. And I'd love to try one and play with it because I've made a real pig's ear of explaining what it is. And I'd like to actually get my hands on one and find out.
I think the only bit that you didn't focus on was the sanding bit, because in the kit, there's clearly those triangular-shaped sanding thingies, which use the same vibration as the cutter
does. Yes, yes, yes. No, but with respect, I mean, sanding, I think it's fairly clear how sanding works. I'm just interested to know how vibration can cut.
Yeah.
That was my point.
And there's a light on the end.
And they've all got lights. I mean, it's lovely. one of their sort of trademark things is they all have lovely little spotlights on them. So, I mean, the one I use a lot is the drill screwdriver. both a drill and a screwdriver, depending on how you ratchet it up. And that's got a lovely little spotlight on the front of it, which is great fun.
I did wonder if it was you that had bought this one, but then I thought to myself, no, you just get it for free from the company.
No, sadly I wouldn't, but I would have owned up. I'd have put it onto the show myself if it had been me, but definitely it's up my street, and kudos to whoever did buy it. Do please feedback and let us know exactly how it does work and whether you're happy with it.
And what you're doing with it. Very good. Thank you, everyone, for using my affiliate link. Just go to tinyurl.com/AmazonTedUK when you go to Amazon. Buy as you normally would, and I get a few pennies for whatever you buy. I don't know who's bought the stuff, but I do know what has been bought. So, hence, I wonder who bought it.
Still using and still using.
John Dyer is still using the UK CFAX service. Which is 50 years old.
Oh, I
remember when I was in the nurse's home, when I started my psyche nurse training, I got a really big telly from DER, and I rented it, and it had CFAX on it. And I was just, I think I've spoken about this before on the show, I was just fascinated by CFAX. I just could not leave it alone. I used the television more for CFAX than I did for watching TV. It was just amazing. So back in 1981... apparently, so John says it's 50 years old. I was just bowled over by CFAX and loved it. And if you follow the link in the show notes to this, you can have a play with it. And it works exactly the same. Even it lets the counter go around, delaying bringing the page up purposely to give you the vintage experience of how it used to work. Really good. Have you had a play?
Yes, I have. And, you know, that was the bit that I liked about CFAX. I mean, this is classic Aidan Bell. I didn't educate myself with the information. I didn't pay any attention to what was being told to me. I just played with it. I just love typing in 128. And then, as you say, waiting for it to tick round and then page 128 pops up. I didn't bother reading page 128. Then I was on to page 497. But it was, it was a lot of fun. I was very taken with just, you know, in the same way that when all the new technologies come out, we say, my God, how does that possibly work? Back in the day, that was the case with CFAX. And it was just extraordinary that they could pump all these pages, as you say, in sequence. And you have to wait for the relative number to come up. It was fascinating.
But the really interesting thing now is that I went there to the link thinking to myself, it's just going to be a sample, but it's not. It's up to date.
It's the whole lot, yes.
The news they're feeding is current news. So somebody is sitting there, I don't know, some system is working it out so that it gets feeds from current news. Really clever, I think.
Yes, I did notice that. I was also surprised. I thought, my God, it's not only, as you say, it's not only still there, but it's still there and current and accurate. Yeah, and if you are sensible and not like me and do want to pay attention, than what's being offered to you, it is pertinent information.
Love it.
I'm still using my Airfree P40 filterless air purifier. I bought this a few years ago now, and as I said on the show when I bought it, you have to trust it because basically it does nothing at all. You switch it on and that's it. It cost £139, which I'm a little gobsmacked to see that I was going to say stupid enough to spend that money, but having said that, I think it does work. I was concerned at the time, it may have been during COVID, that my bedroom was getting very stuffy, that I was waking up in the morning and I was very conscious of, my God, who's been in here overnight? You know, the air becomes very stuffy overnight and you notice that in the morning. And so help me, when I bought this thing, I really did notice a difference. I have it right beside my bed. As I say, you plug it in, you switch it on. It does have a little nightlight that you have to, obviously I switch that part off. And you can feel some slight heat because it's filterless. It purifies the air, I believe, by burning it, by heating the air, by cooking it. And so there is a slight heat. So actually, in the winter, it's quite nice. It very, very, very slightly assists the keeping of the bedroom warm at night. And that's it. Nothing happens. There's no airflow. There's nothing at all. No moving parts. You just have to have faith that it's working. And as I said on the show when I brought it on last time, I really did genuinely find that when I, from not using it to using it, I do believe that the air in my bedroom is better in the mornings than before. Now, you know, that could just be confirmation bias. It might be that I'm just imagining the whole thing and it's psychological. But even if it's psychological, at least it helps. So, I would still recommend it for people who've got more money than sense. The Airfree P40 filterless, and the P40 is the smallest. They come in various sizes. I mean, I think you can pay £500 and get a whacking great one if you've got a huge room you want to purify the air in. Yeah, it could be snake oil, but I like it, and it, I think it works, and I'm sticking to it.
There's nothing like waking up in the morning and being able to breathe properly. So
yes,
I'm all for this kind of thing, definitely. Right, we're heading to the kitchen, and Daniel Bemis, and he's still using his Lazy Susan turntable out there in America. This Lazy Susan has been great so far. After 2 months, he says, it holds all the spices and fits snugly in the cabinet perfectly. It can hold all my spices, there's no fumbling around, and it's £8.99. I found a link to one in Amazon UK. He provided a link to one in Amazon EU, but I'm sure that he got his from Amazon America. But yeah, so it's basically a little turntable with two levels, and you put it on your side in the kitchen, or in his case, in the cupboard, and you swizzle it around, and it presents you with the spice you need. It's basically just a nice little decent storage device for people that have got less space than other people. Very nice.
Well, I'm glad you explained what it was, because my first reaction was, what the f*** is a Lazy Susan? And then when you know, you think, well, why is it called a Lazy Susan? Was it invented by some lady called Susan who was just couldn't be bothered to get up and go to the cupboard?
I think it's just for space, people that have got less space. So instead of having a rack of spices on your wall taking up a load of space, if you haven't got a wall, convenient, you can just put this on the side.
Yeah, it's just the idea of the Lazy Susan. What's the name of that big armchair that people sit in? That's got a... That's a
Lazy...
I think that's named after a
Jim.
Person. Something like that. Yeah, where do these people get these... Where do these names come from, I wonder?
Yeah. So, anyway, yeah, I'm glad you're still using that, Daniel. Thanks for shouting in to the show again. Your support is appreciated.
Thank you all.
In the summer, when I was getting revolting flies in this place, you may remember that I started using citronella candles.
That's right, well, yes, yes.
One day, I will put this citronella candle on the side in my static, and lo and behold, it was burning the underneath of what was underneath it.
Oh.
So there's a big lump of kind of whatever that stuff's called. That they put, the stuff that they put on to desktops. What's it called? Not vinyl.
Oh, you mean the varnish or the yeah,
whatever.
I know what you mean. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
There's a big lump. Right. There's a big lump of it that's burned now. So I decided to, in order to avoid this, I get a candle holder thingy. And I had a look up on Amazon. I found this one. At the time, it was $6.99. I don't know how much it is now, but it's basically a really simple candle holder with a spike in it, but it's got four legs that make sure that it doesn't burn anything underneath. And it's, that's it, really. This is probably the most boring item ever bought to Whatever Works.
Have you finished?
Yeah,
no,
move on.
Well, perhaps a tad boring, but very useful if you don't want to wreck your desks.
Yeah.
So thank you, sir. Well, I don't think mine's going to be much more interesting, to be honest. I bring you JB Weld Plastic Weld. Again, to do with the car, fitting a hold of... In fact, it was the lovely little holder that people may remember, this wonderful phone charger holder that I've got for the car that's got a sensor on it. So as you hold the phone towards it, it opens its little arms and lets the phone come in, and then it charges it. You may remember me talking about it on the show.
Mm.
I'm fitting it into my Polestar, which has been all sorts. We've had fun and games, which I'll come to later with that. And I discovered JB Weld Plastic Weld because I realised I'm a big fan of epoxy resin, which is, of course, the two glues that you mix together, and then be very careful what you stick, because you will never, ever, ever be able to unstick it. I've now discovered the various kinds of putties. There's metal putty and wood putty, and this is the plastic putty, which is fabulous. You mould it together in your fingers, you use it, and it's got a nice long setting time of 25 minutes. So you have 25 minutes to position whatever you want, and then after that, it's rock solid. £5.99, and that was it, really. I just thought, well, I'll throw that in because it's a very useful thing to have. I didn't need to use all of it. You get 5 grams, which sounds like really not much at all, but it isn't too bad. It's about the size of a large, if people remember Pritt stick glue, So you've got plenty in there, and you just break off what you need, and then put what you don't need back in the plastic pot so that it stays airtight, and you can use it again in the future. So,
What did you say you used it for?
I used it to stick two pieces of plastic together: the plastic phone holder onto a Brodit plastic mount. So I needed to stick plastic to plastic.
In one of the Amazon photographs, they're showing it as a filler, like a polyfiller. So you can fit, it says seals and fills cracks and holes and does not shrink.
Really, you just...
So there's obviously a lot of multiple uses, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, just imagine blue tack that goes hard after a while. You can do whatever you want with it, as you can with blue tack, but then 25 minutes later, it's rock solid and immovable.
Right, yeah, good stuff. That sounds very nice.
That's it.
Well done, indeed. Right, now, you remember on the last show, I brought my whistling gas kettle.
Oh, I do. Yes, I do, I do, I do.
Which is carried on. It's not the best quality. 3 weeks later, I can confirm that it's made of really thin metal, and you think this is not going to really last the distance. But anyway, it's still going for now. And it's 3 litres, which is a lot of water. And I think to myself, I'm going to save gas here by filling it up fully every morning and boiling it, let it whistle, and then fill up some flasks. But, of course, I didn't have enough flasks to do this with, so I thought, right, am I going to spend now another fortune on flasks? Well, you remember also we spoke about the chili water bottles on the last show, which are really neat and lovely. I had that Motorola freebie one, but I thought, that's another 30 quid. Anyway, so I went... Happened to be in Tesco, local Tesco, not a big one, and they had this stainless steel flask in there for £6. Well, it should be £7.50, but with a club card, it was £6. Mm-hmm. I'm able to do that. So it's got 1 litre of capacity in it, and I fill it up with the water in the morning and my Motorola one. And between the two of them, they claim that the water will stay hot for 5 hours with this Tesco £6 stainless steel one. And they're really not far off. I've tested that after, like, coming up to 5 hours. And it's still hot enough to make tea with and have milk in the tea as well. So probably more than 5 hours it wouldn't be. But it's, but it's as good as their claim, I would say. There's no glass in it. Like old-fashioned flasks. It's just steel throughout. It works its magic, I think, by having a cavity or whatever, a double wall or whatever it is. And presumably that's why it's so cheap. But it does the job. It's nice. You get a little cup on top, but I've never used it. I presume it works. It doesn't leak.
Very good. Do you know, my mother has an old... thermos flask of mine that she uses as a weight. It's got a handle on it, and she needed a weight to do some very gentle... I mean, she's 89, so we're talking about gentle weight. And she used this thermos flask, which I filled with water, and then it was a good weight for her, until one day, while she was swinging it around doing her exercise, she smashed it into the side of a table and broke the glass inside. Well, you know what I did? I chucked away the old broken glass from the inside, and then she said, oh, that's such a shame. It's such a perfect weight. I'd love to go on using it. So I said, don't worry about it. And I went out to the garage, and I got some post-crete cement, and I filled the inside with cement and put the lid back on and said, there you are, and it's heavier now too.
Excellent. I thought you were going to say sand.
No, it's post-crete fast-setting cement. So it's about twice the weight that it used to be, but it still works.
Very good. Even cheaper than chips.
I want one of those.
I want a Kenwood Quick Mix Go. Now, you might think to yourself that I don't do any cooking, but actually, I do sometimes. I sometimes make scones. I love sultana scones. They're just great. And I use my mother's recipe to do those. And... I also make fruitcake sometimes. So having a whacking great big mixer in a static caravan, which is where I mostly abide, as you might know, is a bit of a lump, really, because those huge ones are just really heavy and in the way all the time. Anyway, this new one from Kenwood is called the Quick Mix Go, and it's only £39. And it kind of folds. I mean, I've not seen one, which is why it's in I Want One of Those. But it looks like it folds down into a case that is kind of the size of a Tupperware box. It holds the body and the beaters and the kneaders and the measuring spoon. And they all just kind of all fold out and you get on with it. And, it's just a real good travel. I mean, you wouldn't probably travel with a Kenwood mixer, but for someone like me who is pushed for space, it's actually a really good solution, and not to have the whacking great big one that sits at my dad's house.
A Kenwood mixer for 40 quid, even if it is a portable one, that's extraordinary. I would have thought you wouldn't get any change out of 200 quid, even for the smallest Kenwood mixer.
Exactly.
That's amazing.
It makes you wonder. I might actually get one because it's so... I don't know if you can get one. You can also get it in blue or red, which is quite nifty. And if you click through to the pictures on the website, you can see that it folds up really, really neatly. And I don't think it's got a stand. There's not actually a picture of it set up and being in use. So I think it's a mixer that you just have to hold while you're using it. But, I mean, most cake mixtures and stuff don't take that long to do. Anyway, I just thought it would be a really nifty little idea for those, like Daniel Bemis and his lazy Susan. Where space is a premium.
Do you know what occurred to me the other day? I was thinking about this. I think it must have been when I saw your post about this. The Kenwood mixer, their thing, their logo, is that the K is part of the beta, isn't it? That the beta is in the shape of a K. It just occurred to me, I wonder if they've ever actually done any research to find out whether that is the most efficient kind of beta, and that, in fact, if you put an extra line in there or took away one of the lines, you might actually get a better mix, and that they're jeopardising themselves by this obsession with having the letter K in the mixer. Just a thought.
I'm guessing no one's ever done that research.
Because nobody's as pedantic as me. Steve Litchfield, he sent us an item, which I'll start by telling you costs £3,199. So I don't think any of us will be buying one in a hurry. But he's linked us to the Presonus Studio Live 64S Digital Mixing Console. This is just a wonderful, I say just, this is a wonderful mixer. Presonus make actually a series of mixers, and in actual fact, I used to have one. Steve said in his post, wonderful, perfect for recording a musical. I couldn't agree more. And in fact, I had a Presonus. I had a much, much smaller one that came in at 400 quid, I think, when I bought it, which is the AR12C for any nerds out there who are interested. And I did indeed record all the demos of my musical Santa Santa on it. So Steve, you were quite right in saying that. The one Steve's linked to, of course, is wonderful. I mean, it's six times the price, and it's absolutely good, well, more, and it's absolutely gorgeous. And of course, you'd need to do a degree to learn how to turn it on, never mind do anything else with it. I mean, that was one of the reasons that I really downsized recently, is because, again, everything is becoming so technical and so digital and so complicated and so menuful that I eventually just sort of threw up my hands in horror and said, oh, vive la analogue, I want to go home, and got rid of my Presonus desk. So, I mean, I wouldn't know what to do with this one if somebody gave me one, but it's still gorgeous to look at, isn't it?
Very nice indeed, yeah. I can't imagine me having any use for it at all, but I'm very pleased for you and the old Steve, perhaps.
And by the way, it's scones.
No, it's not. It's scones.
It's scones.
Scones. It's scones if you live up north.
Scones.
Yeah, I'm surprised at you. You should be posh.
Scones.
It's scones. Scones. It's scones. Scones. Better.
Before.
Ed House is first on squashed train seating. And I do remember when train seating was kind of better in standard class.
Oh, goodness,
of course,
yes.
In first class, it's different. But he says that I remember when standard class trains used to have only three seats across the width of the train. Now they've squeezed in four, the swans.
Yeah.
And the prices have not gone down by 25% to account for the extra passengers.
And by the way, you say that it's better in first class, not necessarily, because first class is still full of oiks who think they can get away with sitting in there and smoking their cigarettes. And
yes. I've got an anecdote here to tell from last week. My dad was going to go for a short break to a seaside resort, and he, And he booked himself up on this coach to go, and the coach just takes you there, and you stay in this hotel for a few days and then come back. You probably know how that all happens. And it's typically for older people, and they go and have a nice little time, then they're brought back door-to-door virtually. Anyway, my dad goes down to get on this coach, and he puts his bags in the hold, or whatever it's called, goes onto the coach, is absolutely gobsmacked at the amount of seats that are in there. They are so tightly packed in together in this coach that he virtually had no room for his knees. Oh. And people are just basically sitting on top of each other. He was so uncomfortable and so claustrophobic, in the same way as Ed is talking here, that he got up and he said to the driver, "I'm sorry, I can't do this. I cannot sit on this coach for the next 6 hours to get to the destination. I would just be sick and claustrophobic and awfully unwell." So he got up and got off, got his bags and went home again.
Oh, I'm sorry for him.
It was very sad, but it just reiterated the point, really, that these a bit like aeroplanes as well, I think, that, you know, you're stuffed into aeroplanes these days where they're jamming in as many seats as they can.
Yes.
Again, unless you've got first class, I guess, where you've got more room.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, so we're with you, Ed.
Yeah, I'm with you, Ed. Yeah, yeah. And you used to be able to open the doors on trains. Oh, I love that. Pull down the window, put your hand out, undo the door, jump out. Oh, dear.
And jump on while it's rolling along the
platform. Yes, absolutely. Open the door to let someone in who's late. Yes, and all that. Not at all dangerous. I bring you B&Q and my hunt for epoxy resin. Very, very disappointing experience in B&Q. Before I discovered the plastic putty that I spoke about a little while ago on the show just now, I went to B&Q because, as you know, I am an advocate for shopping in real shops and I always try that first. I went to B&Q. I spotted an old boy. He was my age, older, looked as if he'd been in the shop for a few years, ought to know what he's talking about. So I went up to him and I said, "Excuse me, I wonder if you can help me. I'm wondering if you've got an epoxy resin, but one that takes a little while longer to dry so I can, it's got some play before it sets." He said, "I don't know, because I don't know anything about epoxy resin." And I said, "Oh, well, is there anyone who can help me?" And he said, "No, sorry, I can tell you where it is. It's over there, but you'll have to read the packets."
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. And that was just time. It wasn't in any way rude or disinterested or malicious. It was just like, "Well, no, we're not here to help you. We're just here to tell you where things are. And you can read the packet. If you want to know anything about it, just read it." And I thought, what a shame, because in the old days he would have said, "Yes, sir, come over here. Or if I don't know, I'll bring you my colleague. Robert, this gentleman would like some help with the glue. Can you help him?" And then Robert would say, "Yes, sir. What do you want?" And you'd get some service. And it was just very disappointing. As I say, he wasn't rude. He wasn't unkind. He just didn't know and had no interest in wanting to find anything out except tell me where it was on the shelf and say, "Get on with it. Read the packet." So I left and went to Amazon. What can you do?
You might as well, really, mightn't you? Yeah.
That was it.
Very sad. It's a bit of a Room 101 almost. A bit like the next item, which is also a Room 101. Matthew Jones wants to put Royal Mail into Room 101, but I've held it off for better before instead. "I recall the 1980s and 90s when you got your mail first thing in the morning," says Matthew. "Usually before you left for work or school. This was great, especially for stuff like birthday cards. It was a competition to see who would get to you first, the milkman or the postie. You get first post early and then the second post around lunchtime. And then, around the turn of the century, they started getting later and later. Second post was abolished and you just got all your post by about lunchtime. Now we get about 2 deliveries a week around 7:30 p.m. You can see by the postmarks that they saved the post up for a couple of days and deliver it all at the same time. We had that in COVID, I remember, which is a kind of good excuse, I suppose, but not now. I get the distinct feeling, says Matthew, that they are deliberately running the letter side into the ground.
Yeah, it's got quite a bit of traction. And Ed Hauser responded saying, "My wife was a postie before our second son came along and staff were being forced to start later and later because people didn't want to work for them due to the early starts. So it hampered recruitment. But the people who were already there liked the early hours because in the summer, later working is undesirable given the heat in the afternoon. So the strategy shift was pushing lots of the older hands out, adding another complication into the mix.
Chris Kelly blames the government and denationalisation. They don't deliver as much as they used to because deregulation meant that the commercial operators cherry-picked all the profit-making deliveries, leaving Royal Mail with all the stuff that doesn't make money. So they've had to downsize. It used to be a public service, so service was prioritised. It's no longer run for the benefit of the nation. It's run for the profit motive, and Royal Mail are hamstrung. They don't have a level playing field. It's capitalism that is the reason that we don't get the service we used to. It should be re-nationalised. Like all the utilities and public transport too. Solidarity, brother.
And Chris Kelly can be found at Speaker's Corner on Saturday morning.
Yeah, good point, Chris. And yeah, well made, everyone. So yes, better before and room 101 for all of that.
Right, okay, so... Sorry. I missed the ha. Sorry. Here, I've got a double gold star this week. This is going to Brodit, the wonderful Swedish company who make God knows how many fittings and features for fitting things into cars. If you want to put a phone or indeed even a laptop into your car, Brodit will, I guarantee, have the right fitting for you, whether it's left or right-hand drive and whatever kind of car it is. They're absolutely phenomenal. I want to give a gold star to Brodit, if I can say it, but also to Wayne Kelly, because I really fell down a rabbit hole. I fell down a Heath Robinson rabbit hole of complete and utter madness. Those who saw the post will know what I'm on about when I say that I was trying to fit my phone into my car, and I actually got to the point where I was putting cling film around the air vent to protect it and then spraying in expanding builder's foam in an attempt to make a surface that was strong enough to hold the phone up. And I'd completely lost the plot. I really had, until Wayne Kelly said, "Here, what about Brodit? I've got a Polestar too, and I used Brodit." And he's absolutely right. And I immediately ordered the correct fitting from Brodit, and it was absolutely a piece of cake. And as I say, I used a little bit of the plastic stuff because I had to do some welding, which is very boring. I won't bore you with that. But I got the plastic putty as well to help out. And it was a nice, easy job. So gold star to Brodit for helping me out of a situation, and a gold star to Wayne Kelly for bringing me back down to earth when I'd fallen down the rabbit hole. All good stuff. And my phone is now beautifully and legally placed in my car where I can get at it when I'm driving.
Excellent. Well done indeed. And the last shout on the gold star comes this time from John Tanzer, who wants to give a gold star to PSC Photos, our lovely MeWe group, and Ian Searle, and possibly that Ted Salmon too. John says, I bought a phone from Ian. He kindly drove over from Hove to Rustington to deliver it. We sat in the garden with coffee and nattered about tech, amongst other things. Well done, and thank you, Ted and Steve and everyone else that pulls all that together, for not only bringing people together to exchange devices, but also physically, as it turns out in this case, as human beings. Back to our conversation about you and I having never met. But obviously John and Ian have met, and me and Chris have met as well. And yes, let's all meet up, everyone, and have a lovely time. Thank you, John, for your feedback on our efforts to keep the community going. Well done indeed.
I'm looking forward to the Ted Salmon dating app. I mean, that'll be a thing.
Enough. And we cry because we've come to the end. I'm going to change that. It says 3 weeks. I'm going to change that to 2 weeks.
Yes, indeed.
We'll be back in 2 weeks.
Hey, you can say your favourite word. What's 2 weeks? It's a
fortnight.
Yay!
Well, in fact, yeah, I'm going to change it to fortnight. Let's be frightfully British, shall we?
Yes, fortnightly.
Fortnight. There you go. back in a fortnight, and we'll be back with another show, hopefully, all being well, if we don't all fall down rabbit holes before then. AidanBell.com is where you'll find Aidan and all his stuff and all he does. TedSalmon.com is where you'll find me, all the links to what I do, audio podcasts and MeWe groups and everything else to do with me. And whateverworks.works is where you'll find links to all the stuff we've spoken about. And, oh, good grief. Finished yet?
Keep going. You're nearly there.
last word to you, as always.
Have an excellent week, everybody. Yeah, go on to Amazon Prime tomorrow and buy egg-related products. That's my last word.
let's have an egg theme on the next show.
Yes, indeed. What did you all buy?
That'd be great fun. in fact, we're heading towards Halloween on the next show. So we'll have an egg and Halloween theme, shall we? Anyway. There we go. Thanks for listening, everyone, if you still are. If you're not, then... And the last thing, as always, is to say, don't forget...
Whatever works, works! And it's scone.
No, it's not. It's scones.
Scones.
It's scones.
It's scones. It's scones.
You ask...
No, you ask
anyone
anybody.
Anyone in the south of England, it's scones.
Don't be so placist.
It's scones if you live
it's scones.
Up north.
No.
Yeah, I'm surprised at you. Well, you should be posh. You. It's scones. No, it's not. It's scones.